This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Archibald Motley is famous for his vibrant paintings of jazz clubs, storefront churches, and bootleg gin joints in 1920s-era urban America. His images of African-American big city life are synonymous with the Harlem Renaissance, but Archibald Motley himself never lived in Harlem. He spent most of his career documenting Chicago's South Side nightlife, and his work captures the transformation of black culture during the Great Migration. The exhibit, Archibald Motley, Jazz Age Modernist, is going to go on a display at the Nasher Museum tomorrow in Durham, first retrospective of his work in decades. Richard Powell is curator of the exhibit and a professor of art and art history at Duke University and joins us now to talk about Archibald Motley's retrospective. Good to have you here.
Great to be here.
Tell us a little more about Archibald Motley, because, again, his name is synonymous with the Harlem Renaissance, but he wasn't there.
Yeah, arguably, he's probably one of the most important American artists of the first half of the 20th century. I know that sounds like hyperbole, but his paintings are so iconic of a particular moment. If you Google Harlem Renaissance, you will see like about four or five Archibald Motley paintings, and yet his name isn't that well known. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he wasn't in New York, he was in Chicago. And he was an African-American artist during a time when not a lot of African-American artists got a lot of attention.
And he wasn't just an artist who was African-American. I mean, he paid attention to that, and it was a part of the themes in his work, right?
Yeah. Interestingly, during that time period, he really gets a lot of acclaim. He got a Guggenheim Fellowship that sent him to Paris. He received a Harmon Foundation Award, which was a major award during that time period. He had shows all throughout Chicago and also in New York. He had one of the first major solo exhibits by a black artist during the Harlem Renaissance, which really got the New York artist really ticked off that this guy from the Midwest comes in and steals all the thunder.
Well, let's talk about these themes and his style, a sort of a caricature style, vibrant nightlife and very soft lines in these beautiful, colorful pictures.
Oh, when people walk into the galleries, they're going to be blown away by these colors, magentas and teals and violets and oranges, and they all get kind of incorporated into nightlife scenes or people hanging out in pool halls or churches. I mean, Motley was an academically trained artist, but at the same time, he knows the rules, and then he elegantly breaks them to make a larger, more expressionistic statement.
Where does he stand among the modernists in terms of his place in that movement?
Oh, I really feel like he's an artist's artist. He's an art historian's artist. People in the know about American art know that Archibald Motley is at the top of the list. And so for this exhibit to come to the Nasher and to be in Durham is like just amazing, because these are not pieces that normally get brought together because they're mostly in private hands. So I think we're going to get a lot of people, not just from here, but from outside, who want to see this work because it's really brought together.
We should talk about, well, maybe the cover of the catalog, Black Belt. Just describe
it.
Oh,
I love that painting.
Yeah.
It was made in 1934. And it's a dense painting, and a lot of Motley's paintings are dense. He'll put everything in there. He'll have people walking up and down the streets. We'll get close-ups on couples and automobiles, and then you'll have these wonderful panoramic views of buildings with signs that say "drop in" and cigars and cigarettes and drugs and hotel. I mean, you really get the pulse and the beat and the energy of the city, and he squeezes it all into, you know, these four sides of a canvas. And on top of that, the colors sing.
What he does in this one, as he does in other, this is an exterior. This is on the street, so we see the storefronts of the people mingling and partying on the streets. But we know it's night because of the stars, the starry night, right? But it's a very bright, vibrant picture, and we can see the streetlights and things. There's another painting of his that I find remarkable in a sense, in some ways exceptional in this collection. This is called Gettin' Religion. Again, it's people outside. It's at night, but it's a much darker a painting.
Well, it's a different time period. This is post-World War II. And one could argue that after the Second World War, there's both optimism and anxiety about where African Americans are headed. The hope and promise of being involved with the war and seeing one's community hopefully be a part of the larger democratic narrative is not necessarily something that gets played out. So that painting, I think, captures some of the anxiety of life in the city. You have the street preachers, you know, on top of soapboxes. You have kids who are not supervised running around at night. You've got couples and people trying to hook up on the streets of Chicago. And then you have all of it cast in this blue, this navy blue, this midnight blue, with little bits of light and stars and neon popping out from different parts of the canvas. It's a remarkable canvas.
What drew him to these subjects, and what was he interested in talking about through his paintings?
You know, I really think that Archibald Motley realized that in order to be a successful artist, he would have to do something that no one else was doing. He starts off as a portrait painter, and he's a very fine portrait painter. But by the early mid-1920s, he realizes that Chicago's black community provides incredible opportunities to replicate, but not in a slavish photographic way, but to really use color and use paint to give that kind of meta narrative, the story of the migration, the struggles that people have in the inner city, the connections that people make, the identities that are created on the streets of Chicago. Isabel Wilkerson's fantastic book, The Warmth of Other Suns, in some ways is a great counterpart to these paintings, because in that book she talks about how African Americans recreate their identities on the streets of Chicago and New York, etc.
And you talked about the migration. His family actually predated that. They were in Chicago before the migration and had a very different experience, right?
Yes. One could call them the settlers, the old settlers. They arrived at the turn of the century from Louisiana. And that was kind of a regular route. Louisianans making their way up the Mississippi. Some stopped in St. Louis, but many settled in Chicago, like Louis Armstrong, for example. And so Motley's family was a part of that migration.
And then he sees this other migration, which is changing, transforming the city that he knew and grew up in.
Exactly. And he lived in a predominantly German, Swedish neighborhood on the far south side. And his father had bought a home there because his father was a Pullman porter. His mother stayed home and cooked and helped the family. And but as a young man, Motley would venture out from this community and hang out on the South Side in the Black Belt, in Bronzeville, where all of these African Americans from Georgia and Mississippi and Arkansas were redefining themselves.
Was he an observer, a kind of dispassionate anthropological observer of the scene, or was he a participant? Right?
I think he was a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I think the only way that these paintings succeed is that you are a keen observer and you are absorbing all of the energy and the excitement that's around you.
You talked about his early portrait work. He has a beautiful, many of them, but this Mending Socks, I think, is one of the most arresting.
It's a masterpiece, and it's a piece that we borrowed from the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill Ackland Museum. They've had this painting for years, and it's a picture of his paternal grandmother, Emily Sims Motley. She came from Assumptionville, Louisiana. She had been a slave, and she comes to Chicago to settle with her son and his wife and their children. Her bedroom is right next to Archibald Motley's studio. And so when I see that painting, I just understand that, and I intuit it, that he has this empathy. He has this connection with this 80-year-old woman, and it really comes through in the canvas.
And as you talked about the more famous paintings that he's done of nightlife and that sort of thing, packed full of images, but really the iconography and the things on the wall, the sort of incidental material behind her, it plays a prominent role.
Well, Motley, and like many folks who come from Louisiana, was a practicing Catholic, and so in that painting we have a crucifix, we have her with her sewing kit, we have an image of her old mistress. And again, even though it's a portrait and it's very different from his nightlife scenes, it's similar in the sense that he squeezes all of this information into a canvas that really opens up a world of possibilities.
His portraits are more realistic, certainly, than the other, more representational, but not photographic, I wouldn't say.
Absolutely not. He always adds elements. He distorts in order to make a larger, more I would argue, meaningful statement.
You know, always really eye-catching. I mean, you really want to look at these paintings. So talk about the background. Another portrait that caught my eye is the portrait of a cultured lady. Mostly I noticed hanging in the background was what appears to be one of his paintings.
Yes. The cultured lady is Edna Powell Gale, and she was one of the first African-Americans to have an art gallery in Chicago. And that gallery was on 63rd Street, and she was indeed elegant. The way Motley depicts her in this purple dress with this incredible bracelet that matches her necklace, she's got this kind of incredible bronze complexion. And as you mentioned, there's a painting behind her. So in some ways, he kind of promotes himself while promoting the kind of elegance and style of this pioneering African-American art dealer.
What cultured lady wouldn't have a Motley on her wall?
Yeah.
Talk about his trip to Paris.
Well, he lucks up and gets a Guggenheim in 1929. And I say luck up because, you know, he was an extremely talented artist, but a lot of talented artists don't get the recognition they deserve. And he is recognized by the foundation, and he spends a year in Paris, which is every artist's dream. And we're so lucky in this show to have really one of the major canonical pieces by him painted in Paris, a painting called Blues. And we think that the painting was probably done of a cabaret called Bal Negre, which was a West Indian cabaret. But when you see the painting, you see these bodies all kind of moving in unison with one another. You see musical instruments and musicians playing, you know, their saxophones and trombones and guitars. You see people sitting at tables and they're drinking red wine. And you also see a woman with a cigarette in smack dab in the middle of the painting, and the smoke wafts from the tip of her cigarette. And then all the way in the lower right-hand corner, there's this disembodied woman's foot. And it pops out of the midst of all of these bodies. I mean, this painting was like so fresh for 1929, and it's a painting that we're just delighted to have on view here.
Well, you can't blame him for wanting to go to Paris. After all, that's the Carborough of France. I don't know if you knew that, but you know, it's interesting when you talk about his the way he treats bodies. They're, as I say, much softer lines and not so representational in these busy photos. But when he does, particularly nudes, it's a much different feel and a much more intimate and representational look at the human body.
Absolutely. Women. There's a painting called Brown Girl After the Bath that's in our exhibit, and it's a powerful picture. And what makes it particularly charged is that she is sitting at her boudoir, and then there's a mirror behind her, and it's as if she's looking in the mirror at us. And the us is Motley. The us is us as an audience. The us might be somebody else in that room. So Motley really plays with perspectives and spectatorship as if he's a postmodern artist. And that painting was done 1931.
Do you think he wants us to do that? He clearly has our gaze in mind. We have to now reflect on how we look at this picture, unlike a more passive nude.
Absolutely. Again, Motley was so ahead of himself. Some of the promotional material that we have in conjunction with the show says he's modern. He's almost contemporary. I mean, these are works done years and years ago, but when you see them all in a gallery, you pick up on the fact that many artists, like Archibald Motley in particular, have visions and have perspectives on audiences and culture and identity in ways that are very akin to 2014.
He did a couple of portraits of his wife as well.
Absolutely. He married a German American woman, Edith, and she was a Lutheran, so this was a great challenge for her to move from this upright German Lutheran family to this African-American Roman Catholic family, and they had an amazing life. She visited him when they were in Paris. He did a nude painting of her that looks like it's straight out of Weimar Germany. It looks like Neue Sachlichkeit, very avant-garde, but naturalistic, but also expressionistic at the same time.
What about the exhibit? You say this is the first retrospective of his in quite some time, is it?
Yeah, the last show was – a major show was done in 1991, and it traveled a bit. But this is the first time we're really looking closely and critically at his work, about 40-some works that we've borrowed from a lot of private collections, which is part of the reason why it's not been possible to exhibit him. It's not like you can easily pull these pieces together. So I'm just grateful that the Nasher and the staff and everybody there helped me to realize realized this kind of vision of bringing these very, very important works together for the world to see.
Did he have any relationship with Romare Bearden?
He knew Romy Bearden. When Romy Bearden did a book in the 60s on African-American art, he contacted Archibald Motley because he knew, Romy knew that Archibald Motley was one of those old-timers who had been, you know, ahead of the game long before before him.
What about, is there a kind of lineage that flows from the work of Archibald Motley? Where do we see his influences today?
Wow, that's a good question, Frank. I would have to say that when we think about how artists use color, particularly in a much more expressionistic way, how a lot of photographers use color photography, digital photography, not that there's a direct link to Motley, but there's a kind of a freedom of how color is employed or deployed that Motley was doing way back when.
Yeah, in line, too. You know, there's those services that'll take your photograph and make it look like a painting. And these are the kinds of lines and soft lines that you try to get in your arty look in your photographs.
Yes. The other thing that connects Motley to now is the fact that he is very much, he uses humor and he uses criticism in a way that kind of jolts you. You're kind of surprised that somebody was that tough and that critical of the world around them in early decades.
Well, that's a great exhibit. Thanks for putting it together, and great to talk with you, Richard, as always.
Thanks.
Richard Powell, professor of art and art history at Duke University, curator of Archibald Motley, Jazz Age Modernist at Duke's Nasher Museum, on display starting tomorrow through May. Richard's going to be there at the Nasher for a curator talk next Thursday, February 6th. We have all that information at our website, stateofthings.org. Go there and you will find out more. We also have some of the images that we talked about today. They'll be up on our website a little later today. So if you want to see what we've been talking about, check out our website, stateofthings.org, for the pictures and the information. And you will find out there that our program is produced by Nicole Campbell, Laura Lee, Sean Wen, Megan Mataferi, Phoebe Judge. Robin Copley is the technical director, Brent Wolf, the news director, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, the broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.